a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We will call the Senate Local Government Committee to order. And welcome everyone, and greet our internet listeners that are with us this morning. Would ask everyone to please make sure your cell phones are turned off. And at this time, Secretary will call the roll. And we did, one senator did call in, and he's going to be absent this morning. That's Senator Sutton.
Okay. Senator Hager.
Here.
Senator Heinert. Senator Olson.
Here.
Senator Sutton is excused. Senator Thiessen.
Here.
Senator Holian.
Holian. Here.
Senator Ewing.
Here. Okay, we have a quorum, and I thank you. You've all probably had plenty of time to look the minutes over. I would entertain a motion towards our minutes.
So moved.
Okay. Okay, motion made by Senator Holian and seconded by Senator Thiessen to approve the minutes. Voice vote on this. All in favor of the motion?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Welcome everyone here. And I guess at this time I would like to have the pages introduce themselves. You can just go to the ends and use those mics.
I'm Megan Schenk. I'm from Yankton, South Dakota.
Thank you.
I am Ross Ackerman, and I'm from Harrisburg, South Dakota.
Okay. If you have any handouts, please distribute them to the pages, and they'll hand them out. And I don't know if I already mentioned this, but make sure everyone's signed in for testimony. Handouts distributed through the pages. I guess at this time we'll start. We have four bills to consider today. We are going to defer SB 64 to a later date. So we'll begin with Senate Bill 65. Thank you. And Senate Bill 65 was introduced by the Committee on State Affairs at the request of the State Board of Elections, and it's an act to revise certain procedures regarding campaign finance disclosure statements. And at this time, I would ask for testimony from the proponents on this bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the Senate Local Government Committee. I appreciate you allowing the Secretary of State's office and the Board of Elections to bring forth to you today Senate Bill 65. I am Chantel Krebs, South Dakota Secretary of State, for the record. Senate Bill 65, again, is, as our chair had stated, is an act to revise certain procedures regarding campaign finance disclosure statements. And, Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment. Would you like to have that passed out at this time to address?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll allow for the distribution of the amendment first for the members to be able to review.
And you can go ahead and discuss the amendment along with the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 65 is, of course, an act to revise the procedures on campaign finance reporting. What we're doing here is candidates that are nominated by a party convention, ultimately, is what we're changing here, is not having to file a pre-convention report or a pre-primary report. This was put into statute in the last few years, and we're repealing that language specifically because independents currently do not have to file prior to the general election. So we're trying to make sure that all candidates follow the same process. So if you look at the bill, Senate Bill 65, you're seeing on page 2, lines 1 through 4, we're repealing the language that if a candidate is nominated at the convention, that candidate shall refile a campaign disclosure or financial disclosure statement with the Secretary of State on that second Friday prior to the state convention. We are repealing that language for the very fact that independents do not have to file prior to the general election. And so we're making sure that all candidates follow the same process. The next change in proposed in Senate Bill 65 is at the bottom, and this is where your amendment comes in. On page 2, lines 19 through 21, or 19 and 20 specifically, currently you'll see in the proposed legislation we had a statewide candidate committee without opposition. They would be an exception. They are not going to be required to file a campaign disclosure statement. We're actually rewording that because we want to make sure we're clear, and what our intent was is in our amendment proposed 65FA, we are proposing language to say that a statewide candidate who is nominated by the candidate's party convention prior to a primary election. That is the new language we're proposing versus the current proposal as stated in Senate Bill 65, as well as adding a subsection 7, you'll see on Amendment 65FA, an independent statewide candidate prior to a primary election. The reason being for this amendment is we do not want a situation, for example, if a governor's candidates are in a primary situation and say a Republican primary has no opposition, and then a Democrat candidate for governor has 5 opponents in a primary, we feel all candidates in that primary, whether they have opposition or not, should file. This amendment says the exception is those that are following are not going to be required are candidates that are nominated by the party's convention. So that targets specifically candidates that are in a primary setting versus a convention setting. And then we're adding, of course, an independent statewide prior to a primary would not be required. So that's what the amendment states. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to speak to the bill and the amendment. Further clarification, you'll see some and then notice some cleanup language, and you'll see that throughout our next few bills that we're proposing. We're changing the word filed with to submitted to, and you'll see that as part of cleanup language. And we're really trying to clarify, and I think it's in light of some of the past few years, making sure that we know specifically what we mean by filed with the Secretary of State or submitted to. So what we're trying to say here is that submitting is when the candidate or the committee actually submits it into the office. That is receiving is when it arrives at the office, and filing it is when the document has been reviewed and saying it's meeting all its requirements. So we're just clarifying our language further in Senate Bill 65 and other proposed election reform language. Mr. Chair, I believe that's all I've touched on. I'll wait for further questions from the committee.
Okay. Do we have any further proponents to testify on Senate Bill 65? One more time, any more further proponents? If not, how about opponents? Okay. Before we have committee discussion, I would entertain a motion to add the amendment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion's been moved by Senator Holeen and seconded by Senator Hager to add Amendment 65FA to Senate Bill 65. We'll do a voice vote. All those in favor will say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion's been carried. At this time, I'll allow questions from the committee on Senate Bill 65. Okay. At this time, I'll offer Senate Bill 65 as amended. Would entertain a motion for to move this bill.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
It's been motion been made by Senator Olson and seconded by Senator Holeen to do pass Senate Bill 65 as amended. Pardon?
Any comments on the motion?
Any comments on the motion?
No, I think the Secretary of State explained it very
well. Your motion is to pass as amended because it has to show in the minutes.
Calorie stable. Okay, I have to make a correction here. Bear with me. We have to. Senate Bill 65 as amended. With a due pass. We'll take a roll call vote, Secretary.
Senator Hager.
Aye.
Senator Heinert.
Aye.
Senator Olson.
Aye.
Senator Sutton. Absent, sorry. Senator Thiessen.
Aye.
Senator Holdian.
Aye.
Senator Ewing.
Aye.
There are six ayes and one absent.
Okay. Senate Bill 65 as amended has due pass. We'll go on to the floor.
If we're short a member, can we do a consent?
Yes,
you can.
You can.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hager.
Move to consent.
Okay. We have a motion to from Senator Hager and a second from Senator Holine to move Senate Bill 65 as amended to the consent calendar. Take a voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Senate Bill 65 as amended will go to the consent calendar. Okay. At this time, we'll take up Senate Bill 66, and at this time, we will allow those as proponents to come forth and testify on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Secretary of State Chantel Krebs testifying on Senate Bill 66. To clarify, this is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the county renaming process. Senate Bill 66 has been proposed, of course, by the Office of Secretary of State. I do have an amendment, Mr. Chair. May I offer that amendment?
You may speak to it as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It'll be Amendment 66FA. Members will have just a slight change. Mr. Chair, if you'd grant me some latitude.
You
My team behind me has been in office, and we've been working for 13 days, and so I want to thank them for their prompt attention and getting bills proposed, changes, desk move, Board of Election meetings handled, and with all that said, in 13 days, we've made a lot of progress, and so a small amendment, I'm glad you're granting me that latitude.
We're noticing the changes. We
thank you.
Feel that's all for the good.
I will pass it along to the staff. They'll be much appreciated. Mr. Chair, may I proceed? The Senate Bill 66, I'm going to start off with the amendment. I'm going to go right to the amendment 66FA because it inserts right into where we were appealing. If you look at the proposed language, Senate Bill 66, we're repealing Section 1, but my amendment is actually putting that language back in and inserting Section 1, and we're just rewording is what we're trying to say. So the new wording will be, as stated on 66FA, the amendment. If two-thirds majority of the votes cast at an election are in favor of changing the name of the county auditor shall, within 10 days after the canvass, the vote, certify under the seal of the county auditor's office to the Secretary of State the result of the canvass of the votes at such or the election and the new name of the county. So we're just clarifying. I think that you'll agree with me that it might have been a little bit of an arduous process that current language had stated and how we were to proceed. It was going to say that the governor, you know, had to, I think, proclaim, and the legislature shall have to review it and approve it, and then the governor shall proclaim. We thought that was just real cumbersome. We felt that if that county voted and approved this process, we just want to say that the county says it. They sent us the canvas. The canvas has been approved by the Secretary of State's office, and then, of course, we then shall proclaim. Notice in Section 2 that the new language in line 13 states that it shall be in full force and effect on the first day of July in that following the year following the election. So if the election was held in a November election, they will proclaim, or the Secretary of State shall proclaim that in the following of the July of the following year. Mr. Chair, I believe I've addressed everything as far as the bill and the amendment, which were the most of the language is the amendment, so I'll wait till further questions.
Okay, thank you, Madam Secretary. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 66. Okay. We'll allow opponents at this time. Anyone like to speak to it? Okay, we'll close the testimony on the floor. And at this time, I would entertain a motion to... I wanted to add the amendment before we discussed it.
Sorry.
Now you're further screwing me up. Okay, I would entertain a motion to allow the amendment to be brought forth. Okay. Motion made by Senator Holeen and seconded by Senator Hager to add the amendment 66FA to... Pardon? To Senate Bill 66. Any comments on the motion?
No.
Okay. We'll do a roll call vote. All those in favor...
Voice vote.
Excuse me. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. The amendment for... Amendment 66FA is now part of Senate Bill 66. It's been amended. Do we have any further committee comments or action on Senate Bill 66 as amended?
I move that we pass it as amended.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded on Senate Bill 66 as amended. Is there further comments on...
No.
Okay. Senator Teason, you...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is actually in the form of a question, either to staff or maybe the Secretary of State's office. I'm interested in knowing what the history of name changing of counties is. I know that we've consolidated some counties, and I see old maps with some different names. But what's the history of an entity actually changing their names? Has this been a common occurrence throughout our history, or is this something new?
Secretary Krebs, would you like to take a swing at this one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm looking to our staff and maybe even those in the audience that have been around what we call institutional knowledge. I may have served 10 years as in the Senate and the House, but I don't recall. We're just communicating here. We have not had any. With Kia had been with Secretary of State's office for 18 years, and she does not recall any time frame of ever having a county name change specifically. Now, I didn't clarify in my previous testimony, and I do apologize, Mr. Chair. Of course, our name change is that the Shannon County voters voted to change their name to Oglala Lakota, and that is why this proposal is being proposed to you today. Is that we felt that the current language again was just arduous and old, and we just felt that if the voters have that said county says it's what they want to do, that we feel that that should be just certified and immediately, as stated by current law with other situations, it's certified to the Secretary of State, and then the following year of that July of that next year, it's in full force of effect. What our job will be, and thank you for granting me a little latitude, Mr. Chair, is that our job then will be, of course, the notification on that. And I believe and I hope that you wouldn't put it on consent calendar for the fact that I think we should have some communication on the floor for that public to know, because, of course, Rand McNally is going to generate some business out of this. And with that said, you know, I think that the general public needs that communication, and our job in our Secretary of State's office will be using social media to state that, and of course with the, you know, proposed action in this bill, I think that'll generate some media as well as for the public to know. But as far as history, there has been consolidation, such as Wabash County no longer being a county of in South Dakota, and there's been county consolidations in other areas too, and Doug, maybe our staff maybe could verify that in most recent, but this has been the most recent name change that we can think of in quite some time. So Mr. Chair, thank you for asking.
Senator Heiner.
I have a question for the Madam Secretary.
Okay.
I guess, Madam Secretary, could you tell me why it's two-thirds? Why the vote would require two-thirds?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Senator Heineman, you know, I quite honestly, I couldn't tell you that. I'm wondering, in current state law, and I'm looking to, is it currently in state statute that is two-thirds? So we took current language that says, you know, two-thirds, We were just changing the process of how it's approved. But I think when you look at anything of that such level, I think, you know, two-thirds, whether it be a tax increase, you know, it's very similar into that process. But, of course, Mr. Chair, it's a public policy decision, and language can be set by the legislature, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Senator Teason.
One more, just to clarify, the recent vote to change the county name will be implemented through the old law or new law?
Mr. Chair, could you restate that, Senator Teason?
Just confirming that the pending name change will be accomplished on the law existing at the time of that vote, and this would apply to future name changes?
Mr. Chair, yes, that is correct, Senator Teason.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, at this time we will, motion was made for due pass by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Hager for a due pass on Senate Bill number 66 as amended. At this time, Secretary will call a roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no.
Senator Hager.
Aye.
Senator Heinert.
Aye.
Senator Olson.
Aye.
Senator Sutt. Excused. Senator Teason.
Aye.
Senator Holian.
Aye.
Senator Hewing.
Aye.
Six in favor, one excused.
Okay.
You need to assign someone to carry it on the floor.
Just pick somebody.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
No, not me. All right, Senate Bill number 66 as amended has received vote for due pass. Senator Teason, would you like to carry this for us on the floor?
I'd be happy to discuss that with you later, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Our next bill for consideration will be Senate Bill 68. At this time, we'll allow testimony from the proponents. No amendment on this one, huh?
We have no amendment. Mr. Chair, we're okay. Secretary of State Chantel Krebs visiting and talking with you today about Senate Bill 68. But first, my apologies to Senator Heinert. I called you Senator Heineman. You're much better looking. Well, coming from a female perspective, I would hope you would all agree. My apologies, Senator Heinert.
The testimony.
Before I dig myself a further hole, we needed to be woken up this morning. Again, Chantel Krebs testifying for Senate Bill 68. This has been brought forth to you at the request of the State Board of Elections, and it is an act to provide for a random sampling of nominating petition signatures for statewide candidates. This is new section and new law, as stated in Section 1 and Section 2. It is entire new language, but it does mirror current statute. I believe it's in Statute 21-26 or 2-1-2, Title 2-1, which is the initiated measure and referendum statute references. This proposal, which has been approved by the Bipartisan State Board of Elections, would require the Secretary of State to conduct a 5% random sampling of statewide candidate petitions. This proposed change would mirror, of course, what I just said, current state law pertaining to statewide initiated measures and referendums. So we took that same language in Title 2-1 and put that to address specifically statewide candidate petitions. This proposal is designed to increase the integrity of the petition process and quell those concerns that are in current law, which does not allow the Secretary of State to review the signatures that come from registered voters on statewide candidate petitions. But it does allow current statute. It does allow for the review of the authenticity of the signatures for referendums and measures or initiated measures. Current law puts the burden of the challenging the petition specifically on the citizens of South Dakota first, and then the matter must be decided in circuit court. The Secretary of State's office is currently authorized to ensure that those signatures are complete. So currently, we can look at the completeness or the cursory review of a signature, saying that on this said nominating petition for a candidate, that the line has a printed name, a printed address, a printed county, and a printed date, and that it's all complete. The Secretary of State currently, in statute, does not have the authority to check anything beyond that. And what we're asking for is, in this new section, is to allow us to verify the authenticity of that signature as a registered voter in that said county. Section 1 clarifies that it will examine these nominating petitions for these statewide offices. And currently, again, this examination is only for the initiated measures and referendums. Section 2 mirrors the examination language for initiated measures, making changes to accommodate the differences between the nominating petitions and initiatives. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll wait for further questions.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any further proponents on Senate Bill 68? Hearing none, do we have any testimony from any opponents? Okay, at this time we'll go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Madam Secretary. I'm wondering about random sampling, if in what ways do you do that now, on what type of petitions, if any, or only if there's an issue, and then also the process of random sampling. Is that something generated through a computer, or is that something your staff would do?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Hager, thank you for the question and further clarification. I'm going to take a stab at this, but I'm going to turn to Kia because I think she's going to share with us the actual process that they've used in the past. But you are asking specifically how we currently do it on a candidate petition? Currently, as stated, we cannot do random sampling because it's not allowed on candidate petition process. They currently, the Secretary of State's office, can, because it says in state law in Title 2-1 that you can randomly sample initiated measures and referendum signatures, but not for candidate signatures, and that's current state law. So this proposal is mirroring what the Secretary of State's office is allowed to do with initiated measures and referendums to allow that random sampling for now statewide candidate petitions. And I'm further clarifying the word statewide candidates. We did not include the legislative candidates. And the Board of Elections' concern was, you know, are we going to cause concern for a legislative candidate to be, you know, not accepted on a ballot? I mean, some of these districts, you know, maybe only 20 signatures and a 5% random, you know, is it one or two? And will that signature, you know, are we going to cause that candidate to be a challenge and not on there? I think it's hard enough to find good candidates to run, and we don't want to make that process any more difficult. We recognize that the situation that we're trying to address is typically in a statewide level or a statewide candidate situation. Did I answer your question, Senator Hager, Mr. Chair?
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Follow up?
And then how does the random sampling actually take place?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hager, it is an Excel spreadsheet that has been created. I do know that, but let me turn it over to my Deputy of Elections, Kia Warren, that she can explain how they currently have that set up for the initiated measure and referendum process, and that's the similar process we'll use then for the candidate's petition. So, Mr. Chair, may I turn it over for further clarification to my deputy?
Yeah, as long as we get her signature on the sign-up sheet.
Thank you.
Hi, Kia Warren, and I'm the Deputy Secretary of State for Election Services, and I can talk to how the process was done in 2010 and prior. Over the last 4 years, I was not in that office, so they might have changed the process. But what we would do on every statewide ballot question that would come in, we would number every petition sheet numerical, and then we would enter that number into a spreadsheet, and then there was a system that former Secretary of State, a formula he created that would do a random generator, and so that number would be placed in that spreadsheet, and so we would say, it could say petition sheet number 5, line number 15, and that was the one that we'd have to pull out and check that to make sure that person was a registered voter, and then we'd just go all the way down until we met the certain requirement of law on the random sampling, and then that would be how we would determine if they had enough valid registered voters on that petition.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for you, Mrs. Warren. How many times can you remember such a measure being invalidated on this random sampling review?
I'm trying to think that for the random sampling, I can't recall if it was passed in 2006 that started the requirement of us to do that. But I think there was only one statewide measure that fell short of the signatures due to that random sampling.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Madam Secretary. Madam Secretary, I see in Section 4 that a person can challenge the validity of the signatures to basically, I guess I'm wondering is what recourse someone may have, let's say if they're, because I could see a scenario where a random sampling just happens to pick the 5% or the 6% that are not legitimate, but that overall, the rest of the signatures are valid. I was wondering, is there any recourse for a person, or could you explain to me what the recourse is for the person who really believes that they do have enough valid signatures to be placed on, but the random sampling might not have showed it? So I was just curious about that.
Mr. Chair, Chantel Krebs, Secretary of State, Senator Holeen, in Section 4, it says nothing in this act prohibits any person from challenging in circuit court the validity of signatures or other information required on a nominating petition for statewide office. What you're asking is that, yes, a person can challenge our ruling, and I'm going to further clarify with my deputy here. I'm sorry, what? No?
It's a mandamus action.
With our legal term here, it's a mandamus action against the Secretary of State. And so that challenge then, if they don't feel that it was an appropriate decision, then the challenge would lie into the citizens to challenge our office on that decision. Did I answer your question, Senator Holeen? Mr. Chair?
Senator Hager.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. So if the 5% is not valid, what course of action do you take from that point forward? Do you then go through all of the signatures if you kind of think maybe these aren't going to be valid and then find out maybe they are? But it wouldn't be just the 5% that then you would say the whole process or the whole effort has been worthless.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I'm going to defer to Deputy of Elections Kia. Yes. And I believe we have that clarified in state law in another language. Am I correct on that? Mr. Chair, Senator Hager, if the 5% is not valid, then it would consider the entire candidate's petition invalid. And there is a notification process on that certification and notifying that candidate that it is not a qualified or accepted certified petition. So yes, if that 5% match or challenge or say sampling is not certified and does not meet that test, the entire candidate's petition is considered invalid.
Wow. Okay, thank you. Senator Heiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If that random sampling is ruled valid, does that remove the ability to challenge?
Mr. Chair, so the question by Senator Heinert is if it's a valid, the 5% sampling is valid and it's approved, does it remove the citizens to continue to challenge? No, it does not. The citizens still would be able to, in other areas of state law, though, it does say that an affidavit has to be filed within 5 days, and I don't know what title that's in, but you'll see that in other pieces of language that's going to be proposed here, that within 5 days the citizens may come forth with an affidavit to challenge it. But we do have a drop-dead court date that we will be proposing in another language, saying that that's the date that it has to be, the court challenge has to be filed by. Mr. Chair.
Okay. Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question, you always say that the citizens can challenge. Who are the citizens? How many are they? What's that process?
Mr. Chair, Senator Holine, when you say the citizens, I should say the citizens of South Dakota may challenge any citizen. It doesn't have to be a registered voter. So it's just any citizens of South Dakota could challenge this process. And when you further clarify, you say, how does that happen then? Is that what you're asking, Senator Holine? The citizen then would provide within 5 days to our office the actual signatures that they're challenging. So on that candidate's petition, they will say on line 17, we're challenging this signature. On page 4, line 18, we're challenging this signature. And that has to be filed within our office within 5 days. We then would take action on that affidavit that's been filed with us, and then either accept or reject that citizen's challenge.
Okay.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, so the person, it can be any person who challenges, but they can only challenge the signatures that were random sampled for validity, or the entire petition then?
Mr. Chair, Senator Holine, members of the committee, it can be the citizen can challenge any signatures or all signatures on that petition. And I'm checking with my legal counsel, and he's giving me the heads up and the nod. So I'm so far so good. And I'm getting provided further information of the 350 pages of election code that Kia, my deputy, pretty much has memorized.
They challenge the whole petition.
Mr. Chair, grant me a little latitude.
Yep.
Members of the committee, let's further explain this, because this is new language, and it has been proven successful, of course, in the initiated measure and referendum language, and, of course, the Secretary of State's office has done that. But I want to further clarify what you're asking about specific deficiencies on a challenge to a petition. In 12.1-13, it says, within 5 business days after a nominating, initiated, or referendum petition is filed, with the person in charge of the election, so the Secretary of State's office, any interested party or person who has researched those signatures contained on the petition may file an affidavit stating that the petition contains deficiencies as to the number of signatures from the person, from the persons who are eligible to sign it. That affidavit shall include an itemized listing of the specific deficiencies in question. So again, an itemized listing stating on page 2, line 18, on page 3, line 19, any statewide initiated measure or referendum petition may be challenged by any person pursuant to the section by filing an affidavit as set forth within 30 days of the petition is filed with the person in charge of the election. Mr. Chair, I hope I further clarified that. Again, is in 12-1-13.
Okay, any further questions of the Secretary while she's available and seated? Okay, if not, I would entertain a motion on Senate Bill 68 at this time.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Thiessen.
I move to pass on Senate Bill 68.
Second.
Okay, has the motion been made for due pass for Senate Bill 68 by Senator Thiessen and seconded by Senator Holine? At this time, we will take the roll call vote. All those in favor, aye.
Senator Hagan.
Senator.
Oh, I'm sorry. Any comments on the motion?
Just a couple of quick ones, if I could, please. I see two issues here. The first one is the legislature has set in statutes requirement for a certain number of signatures for candidates and for issues. And I think that's a separate discussion. In fact, I heard the secretary slip and say it can be hard to get candidates for office because they have to have a certain number of signatures or whatever. Well, that's, I think, a discussion we can have, and we could reduce the number or eliminate the number or do whatever. But currently we've set a certain number of signatures required for issues and for candidates. Having said that, I consider the Secretary of State to be in charge of making sure that elections are conducted in a lawful manner. And frankly, it's been frustrating for me in this last election cycle or two, where it just seems like, and I don't want to point fingers, but it just seems like we're going back and forth, and it's like nobody wants to be responsible for making sure that we have legitimate candidates with legitimate signatures running for election in within the laws of the state of South Dakota. And so we're going back and forth between the Attorney General and between the Secretary of State and whatever. I think this bill helps to clarify that, that we have an expectation that there's going to be a random sampling. I understand the need for random sampling when you got thousands and thousands of signatures. It's asking too much to do each one of those individually. Now, if in my case, if I'm running for the legislature, somebody runs against me, they need 50 signatures. You know, if they turn in 51 signatures and I decide I want to take the time, I can myself research 50 signatures of my opponent to see if they are legally qualified to run against me. But it seems logical that we have this 5% rule, and I think that it should make it clear that the Secretary of State has a responsibility to do that checking to make sure the integrity of the elections are as the legislature has specified. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments? If not, Madam Secretary, will you call a roll?
Hager.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sutton. Excuse me. Teason.
Aye.
Holian.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Six in favor.
Okay. It's a unanimous vote on Senate Bill number 68. We'll go on down to the floor. I think it's probably worthwhile one of the members of this committee visiting about it on the floor just for explanation for the rest of the folks. So unless we have a volunteer, we'll try to wrestle that out later. Okay. Not going down that road again. Is there anyone on the committee have any further business to come before us today? If not, I thank everyone for their patience. We will take up Senate Bill 16 this Friday. Due to the fact we just have the one bill, I suppose we could meet at 8 o'clock instead of 7:45. And we will consider Senate Bill 64 when that time arrives.
Sleeping.
Okay. If there's no further business, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Okay, motion been made by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Holeen to adjourn. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.